In those days, Grandstand prided itself, whether it was the Beatles coming back from America.
I remember the famous Coleman interview at the airport.
Now, this is the moment the fans have been waiting for. The Boeing 707 has pulled in on Stand 15, right below Queen's Building.
Now, Ringo, I hear you were manhandled at the Embassy Ball. Is this right?
Not really. Someone just cut a bit of my hair.
Let's have a look. They seem to have got...
If it was in Grandstand's time, we'll do it.
You did it.
Nobody's going to intrude on our territory. And, what's more, the team could cope with those occasions.
As they would show when, in the 70s, the 80s and the 90s, the programme found itself centre stage at world events, as witnessed by Des Lynam, Jonathan Martin and Alan Hart.
We actually had our headquarters very, very near to the Israeli headquarters.
The worst football event that was ever on Grandstand was the Hillsborough disaster.
The IRA bombing day was a tricky day, very tricky day.
In fact, they are evacuating the county stand. There's been some sort of alert.
We must go now to Hillsborough, what looks anyway to be a major incident there. Peter Jones.
The teams have just left the field.
These are live pictures of the Israeli block. It's now 20 seconds before 12 o'clock.
We stayed on the air live until, well, about 1 o'clock in the morning in Munich. We went home thinking that all had been happily resolved. I got a phone call at about 5:30 the next morning saying, get back in, there's a disaster. And of course the disaster was that so many of the Israeli team had been killed.
It became clear that something terrible had happened. I rang John Shrewsbury, who was the producer in Hillsborough, and said, what's happening? He wasn't quite sure at the time, and I said, well, no close-ups, no guessing.
David Coleman was absolutely superb and kept it going on his own for, I should think, a good 2 hours.
This hastily conceived memorial ceremony, conceived yesterday for the two dead Israelis, but now embracing the men who died.
I'd said to John, because there were rumours of deaths, I don't want you reporting anything like that until you've had an official confirmation. About 4:10, Shrews rang me, and he said, they're definitely dead. I said, who's told you? How do you know? And he said, they're lining the corpses up outside the television scanner, the control room. And I said, OK, you can report it.
I have to report, we believe there are in excess of 20 fatalities.
It was a dreadful afternoon, but it's absolutely seared in my memory.
Well, clearly the situation there at Aintree is a very sad one indeed. So we've had to come back here. We can't give you any racing today.
I mean, I remember coming off it like a wet rag at the end of it.
Mark of the course said that racing at Aintree this afternoon will be abandoned.
But we went back on the Monday and did the programme again, because they ran the Grand National on the Monday, if you might recall.
It was a mark of the respect in which the Grandstand team was held by the rest of the BBC that they were allowed to cover what were clearly broader news events. The editor of Grandstand and head of BBC Sport were powerful figures.